Welcome to the Recycle Podcast, where we discuss everyday issues from a mental health perspective. We are your hosts, Dr. Rashonda Strickland,
Dr. LaFanya Jones-Hines,
and Dr. Nichelle Wall. Now don't get it twisted. We're not going to be your stereotypical therapist.
What we will be is informative, down to earth, a little spicy, and vulnerable.
All right, interns, turn up your volume, grab your pen and paper. It's supervision time. As a reminder, this podcast is not meant to take the place of a relationship with a licensed mental health professional.
Welcome back to Movie Mental Breakdown, How to Be a Player 1997. Today's mood music is brought to you by Foxy Brown, Big Bad Mama.
Foxy.
Okay, so just to kind of give you guys a quick rundown of this film. So we are in the late 90s and we are following one young man. It seems like this is set over the course of one day.
It was a lot of sticking a lot going of on in
movie.
Yes. Yeah. Over the course of one day, and you know, he kind of wakes up with this in this dream state, and you're seeing that he is, you know, getting it on with this young lady. And as quintessential 1990s films start, he wakes up from a dream and realizes, like, oh shoot, okay, I'm actually pretty good. Him and his lady have like this, you know, discourse in the beginning of the day, and him and his friends kind of connect together, and they follow him around the city as he engages in conquest throughout the day. All the while, him and his sister are having this little beef with each other because he's a player. She don't like that he's a player, and she wants to get him. We learn later that that's not really what this was about. But at the beginning of the film, she says that she wants to like teach him a lesson about how he's treating the women. And she has her friend, you know, along the ride with her, and they, you know, come up with this scheme to help get him, you know, back for all the hurt he's put out in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, as things go, he get his just desserts in the end.
Yes.
So who are these people that we talking about? Well, of course, you got Dre, who's played by Bill Bellamy. Lisa, his girl, I guess, main chick, if you will.
Yeah, his live-in woman.
Is played by Lark Voorhees, who also played Lisa on Saved by the Bell.
I know.
I was like, gave her the same name. Right. But
Lisa Turner. I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, why y'all give her the same name? I'd have been mad. But anyway, his sister, Jenny, is played by Natalie Dassel Reed. Her friend, Katrina, is played by Mari Morrow. Dre's friends, Spooty, is played by AJ Johnson. Rest in peace. His other friend, David, is played by Pierre Edwards, but he stage name just goes by Pierre.
Yeah.
His mom is played by B.B. Drake. And you may also know her from Friday at the Next.
And Boomerang.
And Boomerang. He told her to get that lined up real quick. Mm-hmm. That was probably the funniest line in that whole film. And then while he's a side character in this film, we always have to honor Bernie Mac, who plays Buster. Rest in peace to him as well.
Yes.
Okay. So we know that Dre believes he is a player.
Yes.
Because I would almost argue that he really ain't the player that he thinks he is.
No, he had many mishaps throughout this movie.
Yeah, there was more to this film than I originally thought. When I first saw, I was like, oh, I didn't know how to be a player. This real like. But then as I started writing, I was like, hold on, wait a minute. It's like a lot going on. So, you know, I was thinking about him and Lisa. And one of the things that made me think about was kind of the like red pill space and some of the things that they say that they want. They want. So there's a phrase they call tradcon, which is traditional conservative, and how they want a woman to be a traditional conservative and do a lot of those things while they get a chance and an opportunity to go out and kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
She was kind of showing me some of that. Cause like when she came in and I was like, you got to go to work.
I said, you came over his house to clean up and cook just for you to go to work? Like, why didn't you go straight to work?
I was thinking that the whole time I was writing. I was like, and plus he wanted to engage in relations with her. And I was like, you don't have time to engage in relations, mm-hmm. but you have time to come over and clean his whole apartment and cook a meal.
The 90s was wild, man.
Yeah, the timing just didn't make sense to me.
No.
It like, made no sense.
But like that is what people want.
Like, you got up early enough to get out of your bed, to get dressed, full face of makeup, come over to your maid. Like, you planned that.
You did.
Just hire a maid. Like,
and a chef.
Well, no, because she don't trust him. I'm not hiring no maid for you.
You can be a man.
You think
she can do the hiring.
Mm. Yeah, you think he gonna let a man come and do it, though?
Nah. He might. He ain't gonna know.
That whole beginning scene just kind of threw me off. I was like, what is going on here?
Because mm-hmm. you just said you had to go to work. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just thinking when I was watching, it's like people don't realize how much they are expecting a partner to give until you watch some of these ideals in a movie. And some people who are not aware and not paying attention will still be like, oh, that's so great that she did all that. But I'm sitting up thinking, so what is he giving back to her? Because if it's just his member,
yeah, right.
That's not fulfilling or putting back the energy, the time that has been spent on what she has done. And this doesn't have to be a tit for tat thing. It's just like, are we mutually beneficial to one another?
To me, only thing she received in that moment, at least, was charisma. Because he was, you know,
doting.
Yeah, doting on her and, you know, trying to have coitus and, you know, stuff. So he was trying to get, he was doing what he needed to do, in my opinion, to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially when you know, now we have all the backstory as to like what she's cleaning up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I was typing in my notes is like the level of disregard he actually has for her. Mm-hmm. Because you willingly are allowing this woman to come into your home and clean up your mess from another person.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times what we hear and see is that, well, if she want to do it, that's on her. But there has to be a level of accountability and responsibility in your relationship. So if I'm seeing somebody do something for me that is kind of moving into an area that I really need to be fulfilling, it's up to me to step up because that's my area. Not for my partner to be mind reading and landing on landmines and everything else, because they say they don't want to be no mind readers, and we don't want anybody to be a mind reader.
Right. Oh, absolutely not. And communication is key. And, you know, there was in this whole, because this scene was actually kind of long. Mm-hmm. In this whole part, one of the parts that he talked about was when they were on the, somebody called and it actually was one of the other women.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I was like, he actually told the truth in that moment. But in a joking way.
To where she wouldn't believe him.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about gut and intuition before, and there is scientific evidence to suggest that our gut instinct, you know, really does matter and mean something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as, you know, Black folks say, I should have went with my first mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she should have went with her first mind several times in this scene.
And the thing about it is, when she did go with her first mind, it acted what she felt because he changed the tape.
Yeah.
The answer machine.
The gaslighting in this scene, and I hate that this term is so overly used now, but this is real gaslighting.
Yeah. A minor level of it, but yeah.
But that's what's happening to her. You know, the fact that she knows that he's doing something dirty, but then goes to play the tape.
And it's not there.
And it's not there. And it's probably a used tape, you know, that he saved with old voicemails or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. It just gets me in a mindset. And I know this wasn't like major back then, but, you know, we're in 2023 now. When situations like this arise, why not be in a polygamous, polyamorous relationship?
Absolutely.
Where everybody knows about everybody, regardless of you know, who gets to do what, because you negotiate that. You sit down and you have conversations and you find people that fit into the ideal of a relationship that you want. Mm-hmm. So if you are Dre and you want a polyamorous relationship where none of your female partners, women partners are able to have other partners, then you negotiate that. Mm-hmm. And for as long as that is okay with them, that's what they do.
Yeah, but see, you talking about a new age thing right now.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. 2023.
Yeah.
But you know, my issue is that we see that today, and mm-hmm. it's still a lot of deception. Yeah. It's a lot of cheating. It's a lot of this. Why should get to do what I want to do?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if you want to do what you want to do, then talk about it.
That's right.
If you really about it,
be about it.
Yeah. So I'm like, if you can't come, and my mama and my grandparents always said, if you can't come talk to us about it, then you don't need to be doing it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Tell the truth mm-hmm. and shame the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, this scene just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Because I wish she would have answered the phone.
Because she ended up apologizing to him.
Yeah.
Mm. Like she did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, when I've worked with couples before that have had infidelity, you know, I talk with them about, like, you know, that there's an insecurity in your partner now that has been created that's not going to go away.
Nope.
It doesn't matter how much work y'all do, how much healing you do, there's an insecurity that was not present before that is present now. And this would suggest that Dre has cheated on her
something.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, why is she at this level of distrust
mm-hmm.
for him to where she wants to check the answering machine? She now wants to answer the phone, but she remembered she checked the answering machine and she was wrong. So she just, mm-hmm. you know, let it go and let mm-hmm. it ride. And if she would have answered the phone, she would have been validated.
Yeah. Immediately.
Yeah.
Movie over.
Mm-hmm.
And scene.
Of course, you know, plots got a plot.
Right. Yeah.
So then, you know, kind of in the next piece, thinking about his sister and the friend that come mm-hmm. over, and I was like, this dude is just disrespectful.
Everywhere.
Across the board, even to your sister,
mm-hmm.
who really has done nothing to you.
But be a woman.
That's it. And, you know, to make her feel so less than, to make fun of her, and then, you know, later on to make fun of her in front of her his friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember the scene going differently in my memory than when I watched it again. But, you know, I was like, this, he really doesn't care about anybody but himself. Yeah. Now, while, you know, this gives kind of narcissistic kind of vibes. And I would even, I had kind of three things in my head. I was like, antisocial, histrionic, narcissist. He's kind of got a little
floating.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. got a little flair in each of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to give him a little psych 101 a little bit
so they know
what you're talking about.
Sure. Antisocial is not like, I don't like talking to people. That's
not what that is.
That's not at all. That would be like anti-social. Antisocial together.
DSM-5.
Yeah, this is an individual that, you know, abuses other people for their own personal gain. They don't care what they do, how they got to do it. You know, you are a means to an end for them. On the more extreme end, these individuals can be violent. That is not going to be the typical, but they can be. But the whole point is that they will disregard the, you know, livelihood of other people to serve their own needs. Narcissist, I think that's been so.
Well, we did a session on those too.
Go back and watch the sessions. Look, that one's been.
I'll link it in the description.
All out there in the socials.
Mm-hmm.
Histrionic is somebody that is very flamboyant. They like to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. They usually use their feminine or male, you know, wiles to get that attention. You know, they can be very over the top, dramatic individuals.
And that one used to be more, well, they used to say it was more for women, mm-hmm. but we have been finding that some of the men fit in the description too.
There's some histrionic men out here. Y'all just look a little different. That's all.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that when he was kind of doing this next kind of few sets of scenes here made me really think about that. Like, this man really has no concern. He doesn't have concern for his sister. He doesn't have concern for his friends.
or himself either. Because I'm like, this is the rise of awareness of diseases and transmitted things, and we're trying to be PC. And so it gets me to thinking, like, sir, were you like strapping up? Mm-hmm. Were you making sure you were going to get checked on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Were they making sure, because you are engaging in a lot of activity with a lot of people
in one day?
I'm like, is it okay? Like, do you need some Vicks VapoRub? Because that might hurt. But do you need some type of balm? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For you. Especially because he looked like he was in pain with the first one, the BDSM looking one.
He wasn't ready.
He wasn't
at all. I thought the same thing. I was like, one, how do you have any fluids left after all of these conquests?
You need to hydrate.
But I also thought about the friends and subjecting themselves to riding along in the car
because they know what you're about to do.
But I feel like
there was a little cuckolding in there.
It was, but I also feel like they wanted to so much be him, which reminded me of what we spoke about earlier in this month of wanting to be like these individuals that appear to have it all.
Yeah.
Like they are in the gateway part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like teetering.
Yeah, because one of them said, well, how are we going to learn how to Mac if we're sitting in the car? And I was like, you're not learning how to Mac. You're learning how to.
They're not learning anything. You're learning how to sit in the back of a car and wait for your friend.
That's what you.
While he go do what he gonna do.
Even if you went in there, you still not learning anything but positions.
That yeah.
That's all.
And it didn't look like it was many.
No. Well, how could it be? It had 30,000 of them in one day. Okay. Didn't let them.
He had to be there by a certain time.
Ooh,
everywhere.
That's a job.
Yes,
it is.
It was a gigolo.
That part.
That's all I can say because, you know, we don't condone that music on this podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about also the self-esteem of the friends, you know, like to be able to put yourself in that position. All three of them, really, even though David seemingly had a partner.
Mm-hmm.
But he trying to do the same thing Dre did.
Exactly. And
got caught.
And this is when you emulate something that's not for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, at least it's going to make it seem like towards the end, you are a family man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a player. You may want to be because it looks nice. It seems
appealing.
Yeah. To have women fawning all over you.
Mm-hmm.
But you are a family man and you seem to prefer a woman fawning over you versus women.
Yeah, I think, and I know we'll probably get into this a little bit later. I think the uncle and how he displayed his macking was a little bit better because he actually had the responsibility of caring for the women that he had, young, old, whatever.
Yeah,
he actually had the responsibility. And I think that's an element that we often see that people miss when you choose to have multiple partners. There is a portion of you that has to be responsible for them, whether it's just their body, whether it is home, depending on, you know, the depth of the polyamory that y'all are engaging in. And Dre was just running around having casual sexy time with people.
Yeah, his uncle seemed to have women that knew about each other.
Yes.
Didn't
care.
Right. Like they could have been in the same house living together or something. You know, I don't know if that was the case because they didn't say, but at least he seemed like all of his women knew about each other. And if that's the lifestyle that they choose to live, then hey, go for it. Because
that's consensual.
Right.
Which is the whole point, you know?
Because
there ain't nothing wrong with polyamory. But like you said, it's got to be an understanding and we have to have boundaries and rules
and consent.
And consent.
And money and time and energy.
We can have a whole separate thing about polyamory.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
You know, and the sister, you know, Jenny, I felt so bad for her throughout this movie, because she's so desperately, you know, we learn that she really is talking about her own life and her own experience being played by somebody it seems like she may have cared about pretty deeply. And to consistently have that thrown in her face, I just never understood why he would choose that as a thing to like poke at his sister.
And so on the flip side of that, I don't understand why you put so much energy in trying to get him. You ain't the one who got to worry about it. It's the women that's going through this.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think for her, it was because she couldn't get the person back that she wanted, because she was still in love with that person. Obviously, she was like, okay, I'm gonna get my brother, because he antagonizes me all the time. So let me get him and let me employ some people.
Next best thing.
It's a lot of energy.
It's still a lot of energy. And the thing about it is, you came for him. So, I mean, granted, I'm not saying that it was right that you throw it up in her face, but you still came for him. So expect something to come back.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think you have to be ready. If you're going to give it, you got to be ready to receive it. But if you're going to give it back to a person, keep it on the same level.
Yeah, because she's still your sister.
Yeah.
You know,
because you took something that you knew was going to hurt her.
That was a stab in the stomach and a twist. Mm-hmm. And you twisted it some more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's obviously still in love with the man or whatever, however she feel.
Yeah. Now, this whole little cockamamie scheme that they came up with.
Because I was wondering why they didn't, because you know the person that they didn't call was Lisa.
Because I don't think they were trying to hurt her.
Because she probably likes Lisa.
She did say she liked
everybody her. Liked Lisa. Because
she was the traditional woman. The woman that
actually cared about Dre. Yeah, these other women just seemed to be in
need
they
of his
love
services.
Him. Right.
They lust
right.
for him.
Yeah, and a few ones that really wanted a relationship, but they weren't the majority.
Mm-mm, no.
And it was probably not the women that he needed to, like, there was probably not a real connection there.
No.
Just, you know.
Well, like he says at the end of the film, you know, Lisa is the one that he, you know, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to have some kids when I'm ready to stop being a player.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to string this woman along and give her just enough. Kind of breadcrumbing her. Mm-hmm. I want to give her just enough so that she will hang on. And then when I'm ready, then we can do this thing.
Yeah.
Not when we're ready.
Yeah.
But when I'm ready.
It's got to be on his time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they forget that if you are not ready in this moment, woman, man, whoever, then you need to let the other person go.
Yes.
Now, definitely pray. That once you do get ready, that you can reconnect with that person and they have space for you. But if you would let them go, you more than likely would have a better chance of getting back with the person because you haven't harmed them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they haven't lost respect for you.
Yeah.
Because when you hurt someone with infidelity and all of that stuff and people decide to go their separate ways, people lose respect. Mm-hmm. The person that was hurt lose respect for you. And so if I can't respect you, then I definitely can't be in a relationship with you.
Yeah, this is not a Donnell Jones song. We're not doing that. no tweet a deed a leady. None of that. Sir, make your mind up for you get to me.
Yes.
Yes. I wish we knew how old all of them were.
Because I'm assuming in their 60s now, right?
You talking about Bill Bellamy?
Yeah.
Probably. Because I'm assuming at this time they were in their 20s,
probably
maybe pushing 30.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, at what age, right, does this become no longer the lifestyle that you want to live?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, we've said this several times. It's okay to want to be wild and explore and figure out who you are and what you like, what you don't like. But there does come a point where it's like, okay, you don't want more though? Like that's it? That's all you're gonna want for the rest of your life?
And you're a liar at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I know a lot of black people don't like to call people like he a liar in his actions and his words.
Pathological.
Mm-hmm. Yes. On a day-to-day basis. You
just
know?
Think about the party and how many lies had to circulate for him to get each of them women out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You have every single one of these women's pictures in a picture frame. That you rotate out
that part.
Yeah. When they come over.
That.
Like the sophistication of the lie.
Mm-hmm.
that you got to remember, ooh, okay, wait, got to change this picture out.
Yeah, and that goes back to what Dr. Jones-Hines was saying. You know, even Lisa really is not his girl.
Mm-mm.
She really is just one of many.
Mm-hmm.
We like her.
She's a placeholder, you know,
we like her. The family likes her. That's the one that is interacting with the family.
Mm-hmm.
But she really is no different than the rest of them.
Right. Now,
unfortunately.
She's getting treated the same. Mm-hmm. Sorry, y'all. My headphones is slipping because my hair is straight.
It's all right, lady. But I agree with you about the lies that had to happen at the party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once the women all started showing up, you know, the sister and her friend kept saying that, you know, a player will reform. And then we learned what he says. No, he will adapt. And I was thinking about that concept of like reforming versus adapting. Mm-hmm. And I would say that he was more correct, that he did. He adapted himself to the situation.
Mm-hmm. He was very self-aware.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, them emotions, he need to work on them.
Yeah.
He got his daddy issues, but that's another conversation.
He was self-aware enough to know that what kind of games he was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how to play it.
He was doubling down.
Yep.
Yes.
The whole movie.
Now, mm-hmm. The only person he really couldn't get over on was Buster.
Oh. Oh, he wasn't.
That was the only one,
because
mm-hmm. he was having none of it.
None of it.
Yeah.
It was a certain smell in the air. You know?
Yes.
It starts with a B.
And ends with a C. And has a D in the middle.
And when I saw the movie, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's where we got it from.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But he was probably the only character outside of Dre's circle
mm-hmm.
that really could see like what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while he may not have known about all of the other women, he knew that there was something like, nah, dude, like you doing too much. You interfering with my life and what I've got going on with me and my spouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, his wife, for whatever reason, decided that she, who knows if they tried to work on it years before or whatnot, because it had been several years since they had engaged in any, marital relations.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Buster kind of was like the only person that I saw throughout this film that was willing, outside of his sister and her friend, to try to hold Dre accountable.
I think he did a little bit, like called him out on his behavior, the way he was doing it, but he still was in the lifestyle, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it was like
exactly. It wasn't like
right.
And you know, I know his character was for comedic relief, mm-hmm. but I do like that there at least was some sort of like checks and balances. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, what you're doing is foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the symbolism, like there's something that's coming after you, going to catch up to you eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the character Buster seemed for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he almost got you.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
And almost got you.
Yeah.
Almost got you again.
Yeah.
until the end, then if you know, you had the Black Widow, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
Who ultimately got you.
She was like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you call playing the long game. Even though this is over the course of one day,
mm-hmm.
That's still the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she was something else.
I think she knew from the get-go she wanted that man. And she was like, I know this plan or whatever is what we're working on, but I'm gonna do it's two birds, two birds, one stone. That's mm-hmm. what it was.
We getting ready to play three games. His game, the sister's game, and mine.
Because
mm-hmm.
she is a throwback to what the uncle was saying.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, so she a player herself.
Mm-hmm.
A real one.
Mm-hmm.
That part.
Yeah. But even though I knew, I think the friend, the sister, his Dre's sister, knew that like she like, she was side eyeing. Why you daydreaming? Or why you look like you daydreaming?
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. she was having a full on fantasy mm-hmm. mode over there in her mm-hmm. head.
She had to wave in arms.
You remember back when the soap operas used to have like that soft glow on them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what she had going on.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah,
in her head. You know, this movie is just—it's a lot. There was another part of, well, I have two thoughts. The first one in my notes, just kind of what he calls his stuff. I was like, Mandingo is such a,
it has
an odd choice.
It has a horrible history.
Yeah, I was like, it's such an odd choice.
Shout out and to Trope Tripping.
And the the bad thing about it is there are other men like in real life that use that term as well.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and the women did the same thing. Mm-hmm. They like, it was weird.
Like, yeah. Can we not fetishize enslavement, please?
Mm-hmm.
That part.
Yes. But the main part that I kind of wanted to talk about was at the barbecue and the difference between the mom's treatment of Dre versus her treatment of the daughter of Jenny.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a idea within the Black community that moms coddle their sons and like raise their daughters. And I think this was a visual representation of that. Yeah. While it may not be like a stark difference, but it was enough subtlety in, you know, he didn't have to stay and clean up.
Yeah.
After the party, he was able to give some real lame excuse about having to go to work to get out of helping. And then the sister was just expected to go cater to other people, fix their plate and clean up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that goes to the roles that we've said in a different session, how men are raised to work and women are raised to keep house and be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think that also plays into his abilities to be so charismatic that you even tricking your mama.
Yep. Because she really think he out here doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And you just out here just slanging all day. And I felt bad, you know, because again, this is another notch or blow to the sister in that. Where's the care for me? Where's the concern for me? What if I got something I want to go do? Why I got to stay here and help? This ain't my barbecue. This was my mama's barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Why he a child too?
Because what I guess I didn't understand too is why she had to go and get the pot. He the one got the pot. Bring it to your mama house.
Yes. I didn't even think about that.
Like,
now that you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's, you know, the oldest. You know, I have a similar situation in my not my family, but my extended family, where there is a golden cousin, and the way he was treated was very different than the way everybody else was treated. You know, he can do no wrong. Y'all are this, y'all have to do this. And now you see that in his adult life with his partner and everything else. He essentially is Dre.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be looking like, you could have been so much more.
Dang.
You could have been so much more. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to do this, do it healthily.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it impacts kids. It becomes this cycle.
Yeah.
This never ending cycle of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because you don't have self-discipline and control, you don't know how to exist in a world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hurting yourself, you hurting the people that you're choosing, you hurting the people that you've created and the people that you bring into your situation.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the golden child thing, it's the mothers raise their daughters and love their sons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when you got it on all sides, I guess you only have one direction if you don't have nothing else that you're able to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another part of the scene that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way was I'm assuming he's an uncle. I don't know who he was.
He had a couple of uncles.
The one that was barbecuing and making fun of the boys.
Mm-hmm. That's another uncle.
Another uncle. Okay. I don't know what it is in certain communities, especially in communities of color, about talking about people's weight.
Body shaming.
I mean, it's so prevalent. And I was like, these are two children. First of all, they got this size because of what y'all are doing to them.
Right. Where y'all are feeding them.
Right. People don't. Yes, some people are naturally heavier than others, but people don't get to the size that these young boys were without somebody assisting them in getting to that size.
Mm-hmm. Unless they have a medical condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, excuse Prader-Willi syndrome, mini psych 101, and it's not even a psych. This would be like a medical 101. Prader-Willi syndrome is a genetic condition that, you know, the person does not have the mechanism that tells them that they are full. So they become insatiable when it comes to eating, and so insatiable to the point where they will engage in pica, which is eating non-food items. You know, they may eat raw, decomposing. So like their body just doesn't tell them that there's a full button. I do not think that's the case for these young boys. But you know, they got that way because of the way the family is doing.
Y'all keep giving them plates. Every time they came up, you fill this plate, their plates up.
And then you got the nerve to make fun of them when you're overweight yourself.
To me, it's just, it shows a lot about running with something in your family and never like having a system of checks and balance. Well, we've always done it this way. And that's why y'all over here about to die of all these diseases and disorders.
Yeah.
Like, just because you've always done it that way, don't make it healthy.
Right.
It don't make it good for the future. So, you know, and that's just a generalization of the majority of the things that were going on in this film and in this family.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I hated that. For those young boys, because, you know, had this been reality, you know, of course they had some comedic because this is a movie, but in reality, they likely would not have reacted that way.
Right. They would have went into themselves
and then further the problem even more.
Yeah. And these boys consistently played this role.
Yeah. Because they played in the clumps, right?
They've been in several of movies like this where they are made fun of, ridiculed. Now, I don't know where they are now. You know, I didn't do checking on them or whatever, but it's just, to me, it's like, come on, this ain't good.
Yeah.
And like, wherever they are now, hopefully they are no longer taking these types of roles, because at some point it's going to start affecting the psyche.
And that you have to maintain that. You know, if you are making your money by being the fat, funny person, then, and that's your bag, you got to remain the fat, funny person.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you can't get healthy. And healthy doesn't mean that they're going to be skinny, but you, to be a certain size, you got to maintain a certain level of unhealthiness.
Yeah.
And that's us assuming too, that they are not healthy, because all big people are not unhealthy. Mm-mm. Some of them can be healthy. They just have more weight.
Yeah. But their size is not
for a child. But it doesn't mean that they're always eating unhealthy, though. They could still be eating healthy, but haven't been able to lose the weight because maybe they haven't added the other stuff, like, you know, working out or,
they could just be eating too much. Like, it doesn't always have to be something bad in their diet. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's what we're saying. I think it's just more so along the lines of, these are children, so why are people not taking better care of them? Like, at the end of the day, it's not their responsibility to do any of this stuff yet. And if the majority of the people in the family are not like that, this had to have started somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think if you look at the other members of the family, I mean, they're all, like I said, with the uncle and even, you know, the mom, Jenny, you know, there's several people that were overweight in that family. And just thinking about those, you know, yes, you can be metabolically healthy, quote unquote, but the weight on their joints, the pressure, you know, of all of that around their heart, you know, the lung capacity, you know, all that kind of stuff.
The mental effects,
you know, who knows what was happening at school. You know, they're getting this kind of treatment at home with their family. They could be being, and we don't know, we're, you know, definitely going way out on a limb here, because none of this is in this film, but, but, you know, you're just thinking about if they're accepting that type of treatment at home or receiving that type of treatment at home, they're likely getting that kind of treatment somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, oh man. All that in like a 5-minute scene.
I mean, it's a lot to unpack.
But, you know, there's not a whole lot to this movie, even though it's fun and such. So we kind of get towards the end of the film and some things start to unravel themselves. One of the things that I did like is that while I thought this was too quick, that David and Nadine, who his girlfriend was, where he was trying to act like Dre in the beginning,
knocked the door off the hinges.
Yes, they did make up towards the end of the film. While I do think that that was very quick for my personal taste,
that was one day.
Yes, a couple of hours.
In the same day. Yeah,
yeah. It's a little quick for my taste. But I do like that he eventually like kind of came to the realization, like, you know, this is not the life for me. Like, I really am a one woman man and I can be okay with that. And I don't need to be him. I can be me.
Yeah.
Which was very similar to what happened in Baps.
Yes. I thought the same. I thought they was going to play a song.
But just, you know, money was that issue versus this is, you know, being faithful. And the same sidekick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there was only so many black actors to go around, even today. But so we get to the kind of last portions of the film, and Katrina, you know, kind of comes over to the house, and you know, this is when the plot thickens. You know, you talk about a climax of the movie usually being like in, you know, kind of towards the end. Theirs is at the end. You know, symbolism again. So she comes over to the house and, you know, she tries to kind of get things going. But Dre's in the process of trying to, now that I done got all my stuff, I'm trying to get prepared for Lisa to get home. And she's like, oh, okay. But then she do the thing and say, you know, no, you gonna get this. And because he is lacking impulse control,
right?
He engages in the coitus with Katrina. Maybe. Well, they allude to it. We don't know if
she was Nick.
So they at least got to that part where the clothing had been removed. So they at least got there. Lisa comes home and is in a different outfit.
I thought he was dreaming again. Because I was like, she had on blue or something. Yeah,
she's in a different outfit with a different hairstyle when she comes home versus when she went to work. Threw me off a little bit. I didn't know what that was all about, but. So she comes upstairs and she thinks that all this is for her. That he done set this whole night up and he just doing, oh, he's so sweet. Oh my God, I love you so much. So now she got the time to, you know, engage in the relations with him. But Katrina's like, oh, no, no.
You're not
getting
by.
No. So she goes in fridge. Yeah, she wrote on the fridge. She wrote on the fringe, busted, adapt. But for some reason, Lisa had gone downstairs.
Maybe to get some water.
Yeah,
I don't know. She had to get, but I can't remember what it is.
Lisa had gone downstairs for some reason. And, you know, and Dre is at the time that Lisa's going downstairs initially breaking the fourth wall and talking about, you know, yeah, I might settle down. And, you know, me and Lisa have some keys when I'm ready. And then she sees what Katrina has left.
The gift.
Her gown and underwear. And she wrote it on the fridge. Mm-hmm. And of course, Lisa yells Dre's name. He realizes he's caught. We end the movie with Katrina seemingly nude. Going down the elevator and she's like, hi, got you. So there we have it.
I was gonna say, I think Lisa is in a different outfit because she had put on like her I'm about to get him clothes
her
after work
girl.
Yeah, so you know, back in the day it was always I got to get super dressed up for spend the night.
Yeah, okay. For this to come right back off.
Yeah, she didn't have no spend the night bag though.
Right. I was like, wait a minute, she had on. Because I was like, she had on blue, and now she got red on.
Yeah.
When did she change clothes?
That's why I thought he was dreaming again. Because in the dream, she had on red.
And I was like, I know she didn't change for inventory.
No, she changed for the other inventory.
Right. Gotcha. He was about to take inventory of that behind.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So of course we end the movie and he's caught And, you know, we don't know what happens after that.
He went on to be on a different movie
where he was doing the same thing with a bunch of black men. That's probably, I'm just going to say it was him.
Which movie was it?
Not Brothers. Is it Brothers?
You talking about the one
with DL and
Shamar Moore.
Shamar Moore.
Morris Chestnut.
He's the player in that one too.
Yeah. And Shamar Moore was getting ready to get married.
Uh-huh. He was afraid. We ain't did that one yet. But yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the movie.
In my head, y'all, this is what I be doing with the old movies. I just be like, cause they always play the same character. I just be attaching them.
New movies. Like,
this is what happened.
Yeah.
And then he finally got his life together. Mm-hmm. You know, different black mama. But you know, it's the same. He had a little brother this time, but you know,
because when I think of brothers, I think of the movie Four Brothers
with Tyrese now.
Uh-huh. So my brain is like trying to shoehorn that in there. And I'm like, that's not what they're saying.
They have a similar something else. Photo.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm. But it's brighter.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right. So important themes and diagnoses that y'all think y'all saw in the film.
Ask that question one more time.
What did you see? Diagnoses, stuff like that. What do you think
I think all of the ones that you said earlier, antisocial, histrionic, narcissistic traits.
Mm-hmm.
Cluster B.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely there's some emotional trauma for Jenny and mm-hmm. some things that she needs to work through, because if she's acting like this is at, you know, PTSD level mm-hmm. of trauma that she's experiencing. I also think this was a glimpse into some of the more toxic traits that have been passed down in the black community and other mm-hmm. communities of color. So, you know, some of that was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say very mild, I was going to say enmeshed, but I feel like that's not quite the right word. It might be a little strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why you say that, though. The hint of it. Mm-hmm. I would say some generalized anxiety on Jenny's side.
That too.
Mm-hmm. And even Lisa.
For sure on Lisa. Situational for real.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say some attachment issues with mom and Dre, mm-hmm. and mom and Jenny.
Yeah.
Again, it could be some mild ones. I don't know if they're like, you know, trauma levels, but mild ones.
There's definitely,
go ahead.
There's definitely some phase of life things going on with the women that he's choosing to be with. And, you know, some of them were older and some of them were just, you know, in a phase of life where they wanted to explore new things. Mm-hmm. And so that I think that was a common trend for the women that he was interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say insecurities and anger from the neighbor that was the runner or yoga instructor or whatever.
Yeah. Erotomania. Because she was almost obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little dangerous. Because if she had broken the antenna off his car.
Yeah.
And
busted his window.
Yeah, there was a definitely something, some fatal attraction
mm-hmm.
going on there.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you feel like the film like impacted y'all and or the culture for our generation?
I do believe that the movie has made it seem like it's okay for some of these behaviors, or just to exacerbate what was already going on, because it's not like any of this stuff was new when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, once you bring it to light, it's like, okay, and we make it comedic, this stuff is okay. It's okay to talk this way. It's okay to do these things. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy the movie, people. That's not what we're saying. But you have to realize that for people who don't have the ability to discern,
mm-hmm.
Like we talked about these last couple of months, they don't have the ability to discern. It's very difficult to digest these types of movies. They're just like, oh, I should run with this because of this. Mm-hmm. For me, as a kid watching this, or, you know, yeah, a kid watching this, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I love watching black comedic movies and B movies and stuff like that. I still do. Like, that's just my thing. Mm-hmm. But now as adult and a therapist, I do have a tendency to psychoanalyze something like that. Don't make dang sense. Mm-hmm. Why did you do that like that?
You see things way differently now. Mm-hmm.
So I would say, I wonder if these types of movies are the reason why we have Polly now. Because, you know, it had to come from somewhere. I'm not saying that this is why, but I just wonder, like, if this was the idea of, like, okay, so now since this is what we're going to be doing, why not just start having conversations with people and see if they are more open to having...
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be, but I think also polyamory has been around since ancient times. You know, intimacy like that comes in waves depending on which church is ruling the world at the time. Mm-hmm. So...
Mm-hmm. Yes, but in 97, well, let me take that back. I didn't hear about it in 97, so I don't know. I can't say what the world was doing.
You was a youngin' then.
Right.
I was.
Right, so I didn't know nothing about it. So I just wonder if it kind of sparked it again.
Some new conversation in a new way.
Yeah, but in 97, I think, you know, that's when I was dating my little high school sweetheart, and he had cheated. So of course, I'm sure that brought up some like, I can't stand these MFs, you know, type of stuff, probably knowing me. But now, today, I'm married to a good man. So I'm just like, oh, okay, that's what y'all want to do. Go on, do it then, honey. Mm-hmm,
I would say, you know, as far as cultural impact, I would agree. I think that there's some like art imitating life kind of situation. And just given some of the ways in which we think about masculinity and we think about what, you know, makes a man a man, that this movie kind of highlighted some very stereotypical things that we say a man is. And it lacked a lot of that nurturing care concern that you would hope that you would have towards a partner. What I'm hoping is, you know, going back and watching this film, it has a bigger impact. I don't know if in the present time, if it had a huge one, but, you know, us now looking at this stuff, because when we were in our late teens, you know, late teens, early 20s, watching this stuff, and now all of us that kind of came up during that time are in our late 30s, early 40s, and even pushing into late 40s, that we go back and watch this with different eyes now and see how can we do differently, how we can we do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
All right. So what y'all rating?
Be honest.
On the halves now.
I know. It's going to be a half.
Okay.
I think it's, to me, watching it now, it's a 3.5 to me. Because I think it went along with the same thing, like of him cheating the whole movie. It's like, okay, we don't have nothing else to talk about. But that's me now. Now, me then probably was like, oh, you know, cool. Mm-hmm. But me looking at it now, it's like, that's all we talking about. I'm over it.
All right. Okay. So Dr. J.H. is 3.5 feathers. All right. Dr. Wall.
I would say a solid 3.54.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 3.5 or 4.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute.
That's what we just said.
I remember. I do the editing.
I was like, how are you going to say 3.5?
No, I was like, wait, what?
Flash. Or just because it needed a little bit more to the
substance to
it. Mm-hmm. And if we had a little bit more or a little bit of character development, even if it was he got worse, I think that would have added a little extra to it. I think movies back in the day kind of lacked some character development just because they're like, oh, you love the actor,
you
or
love
the actress.
Bill Bellamy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what was lacking for me. But the other themes and things of that nature, I feel like were pretty spot on.
And I would give it a 3. I feel like it's a pretty middle of the road kind of movie. It's not terrible, not great. I completely agree with the character development piece. You know, if this movie would have been maybe 15 to 20 minutes longer, I think we could have gotten some real substance and some more meat, some more drama into the situation.
And healthy
not,
drama.
Yeah, and not like, that's what I'm going to say, not like shenanigan drama, like him toiling with something and really coming to a realization, because that piece never came.
Like, Dre was kind of flat.
Yeah, like he never actually learned anything.
Yeah, maybe had, if when Lisa, you know, found the stuff on the refrigerator, maybe that would have caused, sparked a growth in him or something, or some sort of maturity or something.
Right.
Well, they can't do no sequel because the majority of the cast is no longer alive. So
that is so true.
Yeah.
So I think that was missing in there. And, you know, of course there's buffoonery and, you know, something, but it makes sense for the day and the time. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep that in context. But I do think the film needed just a bit more runtime to add a little bit more. But I do think for overall, for what it was trying to communicate on what a player is, I don't think it explained how to be a player, but I definitely think it explained what is a player.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So we got plenty of things coming up over the next few months. We're, you know, changing up some things. We hope you guys are going to be so excited about what we have in store for this, you know, next year of ours. So enjoy. And end scene.
Must be this volume control.
So, okay, interns, process your notes. Be sure to catch us next session and find us on all major platforms at The Recycled Podcast.
If you're a new intern, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Thanks for listening. And remember, we are shifting and reshaping our psyche through healing conversations and connections, one discussion at a time.